Welcome here in the name of our Christ our Lord. Greetings to you all, and I appreciate this time once again with you and to stand before you and to endeavor to proclaim God's Word. And I'm thankful for that, very thankful. And I always want to have that testimony. You've heard me say that many times, and you always will. But I'm very thankful that I have the privilege and it's a gift. I don't believe it's we call it a labor being of the ministry, but it's a labor of love. And a labor is a work, but this one is a blessing. And I'm very thankful to be here with you. And I trust you've had a blessed week. I have many thoughts placed upon my heart. I ask an interest in your prayers. And as I had the blessing of being at work, as I was talking to some of our brothers beforehand here, and having been off for a little while, you have time to reflect and to look at things from a different perspective. And sometimes we need to endure something to look at something in a more appreciation or different way, I think. And in the gospel of Christ and in his spirit, he would knit that to a witness of him. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And as in a way, is something that I wanted to present this morning in that same light of some thoughts that were given to me while I was even working. And I was at work in the place where I work at home. But I also have that job, and that's a work too. So I say at work. Yeah, they're my employer. And I, even having my mind on my work, because you've got to keep your mind on your work, especially around machinery, you'd better. You don't want to get tangled up in it. And the subject of being written in stone came to my mind. And how the Lord has caused for a witness things to be written, things to be acknowledged, things to be taught in his word, that they may be proclaimed, and they will also stand as a witness to you and for future generations. And the Lord has proclaimed these things, and he wants us to embrace them, to look to them with strength, with knowledge, with substance, with truth, to agree with what he has to say. And by agreeing with them, we not only witness and proclaim in our lives, but we live by them. But we live by them. Because the Word of God is a living, breathing document. The Word of God is a living, breathing witness. And beyond our comprehension. In many ways. But to be savored, to be adored, to be reverenced, His Word, to be preserved, yes, but to be proclaimed and to be witnessed. And it is something that as we agree with it and we embrace it and we say yes, we agree with it, that we will also witness of it. The Lord expects this. Why did Jesus otherwise say that we weren't to hide our light under a bushel, but out where everyone can see it? can hear it. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he said something that I thought was rather profound. Stranger. And he said something to the effect that I get out of bed and I wait expectingly to see how the Lord is going to bless me today. And I like to tell other people of my blessings. And I thought that was a rather neat way of looking at life. Waiting to see where the Lord is going to bless me today. In a way and fashion, I believe Job thought the same thing. He had some low times in his life. And many people today, I think, suffer the same trials as Job in many ways. And even though the next affliction would come, and those would try to tell him, why don't you just go off somewhere and die? He said, now you wait a minute now. This affliction may be here, and yes, I'm suffering it, but let the name of the Lord be praised. And through all Job's afflictions, even he had to come to understand that he said himself, he needed to be humbled. And his friends were told, you let my servant Job pray for you that your iniquities may be forgiven, because they were the ones, and you know, even his own wife had told him, what have you done to deserve these things? What have you done? And you need to repent of them, and so whatever the matter, this evil may be taken from you. I would like to turn for a piece of scripture this morning on the subject matter I was talking of in the book of John, in the first chapter, and there was a couple verses I'd like to read in the beginning, starting with verse 1, of course. We'll be using our Bible and our Book of Mormon this morning. And I have some scriptural references if you'd like to write them down and to check into them even further than I will be going this day. But once again, what I think the Lord wants to understand, this is chapter 1 of St. John. Remember, we had this subject before about what was 1 John, 2 John, and St. John. We're going to be in St. John this morning, at least for these few verses. And what I talked about and made a statement earlier, that the Word of God is a living, breathing document. And it is. Because it's a representation of God's own Son in many shapes and fashion and purpose and plan from cover to cover in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things concerning creation and time and prophecy, revelation, is according to its fulfillment in all things, including judgment. And most powerfully, that was prepared before the foundation of the world, salvation. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That Lamb was prepared, and that plan was laid within the foreknowledge of God the Father and of the Son. The representation of Him and the very express image of the Father, Jesus Christ. To deliver faithfully, Jesus Christ is spoken of in the book of Revelations, the faithful witness, the faithful witness. And if you will look in the book of Revelation also, about he that rode forth with a flame of fire from his eyes, and hair as wool, and upon him was written on his vesture was the Word of God, representation of Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He shone in darkness when he came to the world. And his light shines in darkness to bring truth and to straighten out the lives of the children of men and give them cause, give them purpose, give them plan, give them life, give them faith, give them hope. We find, this is the darkness comprehended it not. There were those that their hearts and minds were darkened when Jesus Christ came into this world. And we know that there are those whose hearts were severely darkened, even though they had been instructed and warned of the coming of the Savior upon this continent. It talks about in the book of 3 Nephi, when Jesus Christ appeared to his people that were waiting for him. Because of the great upheaval, there were those that were taken away. There were those that were judged of iniquity at that time. You know, and that's really a likeness and type and shadow of that which is to come. When he shall ride forth with the hair of wool and his eyes flaming as fire, and as king, riding forth, but he will, at that time, will be of judgment and of the first resurrection. The resurrection of the righteous. We want to be there. We want to be in that gathering of his saints. We want to be there. Jesus Christ is the pure representation of the Word of God. The pure representation of the Father, the express image of the Father, came. That's why Jesus could make the statement. He said, Father, I know that you are always with me. Because, remember, he says, be ye holy as my Father in heaven is holy. That's without blemish and spot, true justice and holiness. And that's how Jesus could say that. He was just the pure representation of his Father. He had to be in order to represent. And he said, Father, I know that you hear me because you're always with me. That's how he could say that. And for anyone to say in their right mind today that in some of these depictions of Christ that he was a sinful man, being in flesh and blood. I fear for them. Because he was the unblemished lamb before the foundation of the world. The unblemished lamb while he walked among the children of men. He was a pure representation of the Word. I would like to... let's go back to Exodus. The book of Exodus in the 24th chapter. Now, we have many times in the Scriptures where they talk about the book of the law was brought out and was read so the people would know and would understand. And they would also pledge agreement with it of what they would do. And we know, of course, of the children of Israel, many times they were a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. And the Book of Mormon complains, it was of that group of people that Christ was sent, because they would crucify him. There was a plan in place. They said none other nation would have crucified their God. But we find that But they would agree also. They would read it. The book of the law was brought out, and to bring people, the word was supposed to also instruct, and so people would know what was true, what was good, what was commandment, and they would acknowledge it, they would also repent. And that was to turn from, a lot of times now that the book of the law was brought out because they had been involved in so many other things and iniquities and so on. And at this portion of time that the children of Israel taken out of Egypt because of the experiences that they had in Egypt, and he wanted to purify himself unto himself a people that were zealous of his works and commandments and of him and would have a love for him, because they had experienced idol worship, they had experienced adulteration of all the false gods there were in Egypt. And the Lord wanted to instruct them fully in what was truth and what was of him. And I believe that that is even type and shadow of even what we see in the restoration today of what was needed in 1830 when the Book of Mormon had been translated and the Church of Christ was restored, that there needed to be a statement of his truth, the book of the law, to tongue and groove with the Bible, as was witnessed in the Book of Mormon. And this is, and the two of them would be to the confounding of false doctrine, because we see a plethora of these things today. And we must hold them up, hold up what is true. Now, In chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, and I'd like to start at verse 1, and we find where the people are by the mountain. And remember, we were talking about Mount Sinai, not the one they acknowledged by the, I think it's St. Catherine's Monastery that's right there by it, but the real Mount Sinai, and they actually had found it. Someone used the scriptures and found it. And if you'll read, actually, in this area, you'll see some of those telltale signs of itself, that the fire of the Lord come down, and there was a smoke, and there was the Lord abode there upon the mountain. He would speak out unto the people, and the top of the mount would be charred black. There was a heat, and there was a smoke. And so that would be one of the telltale signs of that real mountain, in which the one that they acknowledge today over there does not have those markings, if you will. Now, in chapter 24, he says, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou Aaron, Nadab and Abihu." Nadab and Abihu, okay, of Aaron's sons, and down the road, they're going to face a judgment for falling away from the Lord's design and the way things are to be carried in the tabernacle, to be carried out. And that was of the incense. That's when these two were the ones that were consumed. "And 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with..." Now this is one thing that I wanted to bring out this morning in all the flavor, hopefully, of what is brought out this day. Moses came and told all the people all the words of the Lord and all the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do." Do you realize even that statement? To think and ponder about that today, even in this congregation. All the words, in one heart and one mind, we will do. Now we know that these people here, we know, were a people that were a backsliding people. Well, and each of us may have our ways too. Don't be wrong. And there we know that there is repentance. We know there is forgiveness and those things. To press forward with that design, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. And they were making witness and they were making testimony. And we are going to be partaking of the sacrament here in a little while. And I want you to think about that, because that's what we witnessed here this day too, with the purpose of the sacrament in the name of Christ and the blood of Christ, His body and His blood. That what you have said, we will do. And I would that you would pay very close attention to the words of the sacrament prayers. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill. And 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Once again, there's going to be those... remember we've mentioned before about these 12 pillars round about this mountain? They never found them at this other mountain, the one they acknowledged. The one that is in Saudi Arabia, like it says in Galatians. It had the remnants of 12 pillars. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. What all has he said? What all do we agree with? And have we been obedient? That's a question only you can answer for yourself. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And that was according to temporal sacrifice. And you and I are recipients of the new covenant, of the blood of the covenant of Jesus Christ, what the Lord hath made with you concerning these words. And it's a type and shadow of that which would come. The work of Jesus Christ. And then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and it were the body of heaven in its clearness. A vision they were given of the Lord himself. And now, one thing, it was kind of a neat thing to notice, talking about those that went with Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And Christ sent out, and he talks about 70 evangelists. We even have a office in the church today of a 70 evangelist. I think it's a type of his word. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, and laid not his hand, and they also saw and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me, and into the mount, and there I will give thee tables of stone, and law and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. He didn't say, you get these things, they're going to be written down, and I want you to hide them. He said, what? I want you to teach them. And I believe that he gives us that same today, where we receive of his word, we have the fullness of the gospel, and we need to teach them, be witness of these things. He expects us to not be such as some of the servants that received 1, 2, 5, 10 talents and whatever, and one just buried it in the earth. And we think that, you know, because we would proclaim the Nephite record or the Book of Mormon, and those that might not agree with us, that we don't, might shy away from proclaiming it. But I testify to you this, inasmuch as there are those that would say things about the Book of Mormon, will say whatever they will about your Christian faith, the Bible included, and even more so about the word of the Lord in total. But the Lord still expects us to be good and faithful servants. And I would like to look over into Exodus while we're here. I'm going to keep you in Exodus for just a moment. And Exodus 17. Back to Exodus 17. Exodus And this is once again, where the Lord had caused to have something written down. And I'm only taking a couple of examples because there are so many where the Lord had had things, you know, written down. And I feel that that could still happen today, where the Lord could cause that we have either prophecy or revelation, and the Lord say, write this down. And when he was among the people of the Nephite people, and he said, now, didn't this, many of the saints arise and walk into the city? He said, yes, Lord, this did happen. He says, is it written down? And he said, Nephi spoke up and said, you know, I guess it wasn't. I don't think it was. And Jesus commanded that it be written down so that people would know, and so on. And the Bible says the same thing. And we find here that where the people had went to war, and Moses said, I'll stand up in the mountain, and I'll raise up my hand and the staff, and as long as I keep my hand up, that you would prevail. And if I let my, and when his hands went down, they did not prevail. And then so they prevailed over these, the people that they were coming into, that they were in front of them, and the Lord delivered them out of. And then we find, as this was done, in verse 14 of Exodus 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. These people are going to be subdued. And there were many such things where the children of Israel had went in and had to drive out people before them in order to inhabit the land. Between the time of Moses, or between the time of Abraham and Moses, people had moved in and started inhabiting the land that was promised to Abraham, the land of Canaan. And so these people needed to be cleaned out of there because, you know, this is the land that was promised to Abraham, and it had become also an idolatrous land, false gods and false practices. And when people don't have the pure word of the Lord, they start practicing all sorts of things. It's not just a matter of bowing down to an idol, but it's all the rest of the practices that they may do, including human sacrifice. From little children up to, mostly a lot of them were little children. Things were abominable to the Lord. And whoredoms and other things that were not of the Lord's practice, not of his commandments, and so on. And they needed, that land needed to be purged. And so the Lord would be before his people. And he wanted this known, that the Lord fought for you this day. And there are many times now when the people turned away from the Lord, that we find that, you know, now you're going to be scattered by your enemies. Do you ever find that in your life, though, where if you happen to forget or slide or sometimes we come lazy in our faith? And that can happen. Each of us have a testimony of this, and things just don't seem to go right. Do you ever find that example? And boy, you know, I need to get myself back in tune with the Lord. I believe that's why Paul, you know, that's a very express reason. Not only did he told the children of Israel about keeping the Sabbath, if we don't keep the old Sabbath, but there's the new. They met upon the Lord's day on Sunday. And he told Paul to the Hebrews, you know, and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We may keep in tune with the Lord, and that we may have his blessings. We have our portion of his blessings. And our brothers and sisters are blessed, and the congregation is blessed when we come and we proclaim together what all you have said we will do. And coming and partaking of the sacrament, is that statement unto the Lord, what you have said and what we have heard and what you are about and what your gospel is, that we will do. And that of your salvation, O Lord Jesus, that we partake in, that we agree with, that we will live for, that we will live according to. Now, I would like to take and turn for a moment over into the Book of Mormon on page 157. Page 157. page 157, and I'd like to start at verse 63, please. And he tells us, and this is according to, we have many things that have happened and are going to happen, and you will hear. And he's talking about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and chiding people for not agreeing with it and not reading it, not accepting it, and so on. And he says here that, and because I have spoken one word, you need not suppose I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man. So that's why I make that statement. You know, it's very possible we can receive more. Those of the faithful who will agree with, live according to, and desire of His Word, we'll give more of. I believe more can be, we can have. Because He gives a stiff warning against those that reject His words, and we don't want to even to quarrel over what they may say. But in the Spirit of the Lord, we will know His truth. And neither, he says, from that time henceforth or forever. Because ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose it contains all my words, neither can ye suppose wherefore, ye need not have a Bible, you cannot suppose it contains all my words, neither need ye suppose I have not caused more to be written. For I commend all men, both in the east and in the west, and the north and the south, and the islands of the sea, they shall write the words which I shall speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world according every man according to his works, according to that which is written. According to that which is written, he says. For I speak unto the Jews, they shall write it. I shall speak unto the Nephites, they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they write it. And I also speak unto the nations of all the earth, and they shall write it. And it come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. How powerful is that? And that is precious. And he's talking about a fullness of these things. And because we even find with the Bible today that there's even so many versions of it that you have to look intently if you're going to a Bible store looking for even a King James Version. There is a new King James Version that still changed things. And so, when man gets involved, man takes things out, man leans to his own understanding. We have to be careful that they don't go back to even acceptable manuscripts, which are historically provable in itself. I would like to go over, if you will, with me into 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Second Corinthians in the third chapter. I actually have to begin at the beginning and read three verses here. 1-3. Second Corinthians, third chapter. Paul says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Boy, that really speaks something to us today, doesn't it? Do you feel that? Do you feel that one? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, and written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. He has written that rain should never erode, the earthquake cannot crack the stone in half, it cannot be chiseled off, but it's been manifested in your heart by the Spirit and the burning of the living God. He said, our God is a consuming fire, that of holiness and trustless, justice and truth, but the fleshly tables of the heart. And he talks about the heart. You know, it's really neat when he talks about the heart. Did you ever think about that? Why? Where are your memories? Well, our memories are locked up here. But when you feel something that touches you deeply, where do you feel it? You seem to feel it right in here, don't you? Isn't that something else? You feel it right here. Does the Lord know something? Yes, He does. He knows how He's created you and designed you, and you're caused to feel. And even such that, you know, we have feeling within our fingers and toes and parts of our body, our nerve endings and things like that, and sensory things that cause to go to the processor, the old processor of the brain, and they may be felt out in our extremities, but they are within that master's design as well. And so we find that you know, we may feel it, but it is within the brain and within our thinking abilities that we're able to know them. But he talks about the heart, the fleshly tables of the heart. They are our witness, and so on. When we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, you know, as he talks about in many places, that our lives are going to be read. Our lives are going to be read. And when he talks about, let's say in Revelations, the books that are going to be opened, and the book of life, and things are going to be read out of those things, and especially is your name written there. And we find how important that is. I would like to take a look, if you will, over into the book of 1 John. Let's look in the book of 1 John, 5th chapter. And we would like to start verse 1. And we find once again that there were witnesses of the people. There was God's witness that was written, or his statement written down, and the people, you know, agreed with it. And the witness was going to be, once they agreed with it, now, you know, they needed to do it. And there are things that are going to bear witness of whether the people were faithful unto it or not. This is just our hearts and our minds are going to be read upon the day of judgment, that the Lord will know. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this that that he that came by water and the blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Spirit is truth. Spirit, we find, is that which cometh forth of God the Father and of the Son. And the Spirit cannot be of lie or of anything of the sort, but has to be of pureness of truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, also can dwell in you. And it bears witness, wears witness of you. It also manifests of God unto you in your life and your heart. He says there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The Spirit and the water and the blood. Now we are to receive of the and accept the blood of Christ in our lives. We are to witness. We are to witness in the waters of baptism by that which we have agreed to. We have proclaimed, Lord, we hear all that you have to say. We agree with it, and that we will do. What about our faithfulness in these things? And how about the reception of the Holy Ghost? That's why he talks about in Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereunto you are sealed unto the day of judgment. That witness has been sealed to you, the witness of God, and you witness in him that you will keep his commandments. And grieve not that Spirit. It is that Spirit that is going to tell tale of all that you have been about in this world. What you have done, what you haven't done, what you've been forgiven for, what you've asked forgiveness for, how you lived according to the word of his patience. And you know, we find that it's something of a similitude in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were going forth into the lands of inheritance, when they were going into the places where they needed to act out in obedience according to the Lord's word. And the Lord says, he says, I've sent my angel with you, and he will go before you. Obey him in everything that I have said, because my Spirit is in him. He will not forgive your iniquities. Do not provoke him. Now, where do we find the difference today? The Spirit of the Lord is within you. If you accept Christ, you agree with and you proceed in that agreement, in the receipt of his Spirit, but we receive of what? Forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We do receive forgiveness. And if the blood of Christ is not upon you, and if we have not asked for forgiveness, if we live according to iniquities, how can we hope to be forgiven? But through Christ, we can be. The good and faithful witness. Let's turn back while we're in this area to the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. And I'd like to start at verse 14. I'd like to read verses 14 through 23. And he tells us here, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And talk about those that will accept Christ and live by him and live for him, in agreement and testifying of that which is written upon your heart. As he was told unto the people, of those things that were written upon stone and also from the tablets, and it was caused to be written down, were read before the people, what all the Lord says, we will do. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is not where remission of sin, these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and we know that that Holy of Holies is a whole other study to itself, with all the preciousness that's about, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you remember we read a little while ago back in Exodus, he talked about that book of the law that was read and so on, and they took that blood off the sacrifice, and he sprinkled it upon the book, and he also sprinkled the people. He also sprinkled the people. Representation of what Christ was going to do for them. And the future work of the Lord's forgiveness upon these things. And having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I believe that's representation. Also, it's just as they were washing of their sacrifices unto the Lord, our sacrifice to Him, and of baptism, our witness upon the earth of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. The blood of Christ. The witness of the water. And the witness of the Spirit that you are to receive. And so he tells us, just as, remember those people, they said, yes, Lord, we hear that witness, we hear that word, and we feel of your Spirit. Yes, we agree with it, and yes, we will do it. 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And so, we have many places where, like I said, things were written down. They were chiseled down, even upon plates of brass, plates of gold, plates of stone. And they were to be proclaimed. They were to be taught. They were to be preserved, you know, in our hearts and in our minds. As it talks about in 2 Peter, that prophecy came not in time of old, not by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord had these things penned down for posterity, and he wanted these things taught. And what, you know, people, I think you need to understand is that, you know, we talk about, well, things were talked about 1,000 years ago. Talks about many places in the Scriptures. One of them in Hebrews, the other ones it talked about in the book of Malachi. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, as things were spoken and penned down and so on, and many things have gone through the hands of man, but the Spirit of the Lord is the same. And that understanding, you know, can be is what we pray for. We may understand that which the Lord had caused to be written and to understood several thousand years ago as it was penned down then or chiseled down or engraved or whatever the matter. And that most importantly, that it is engraved upon the fleshly tables of your heart, which will bear witness of you before the judgment seat of Christ. So I thank you this day.